Amen. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. But then let me just read a bit from verse 4, then we'll just jump down to where we were. He said, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are diversities of ministries, and the same Lord, and there are diversities of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. Now began to give all the different kind of gifts that there are. Said there is a word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, I'll explain that, and then gifts of healings, and then the working of miracles, or effecting of miracles, verse 10. And then to another, he said prophecy, and to another the distinguishing or discerning of spirits, and to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. All right. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as He wills. Now, let me just say something about that descending of spirits. And I remember last week I explained that most of the things I learned from this, I learned from the writings of Kenneth Hagin. He's one of the people that took time out to settle down and explain these things one by one. And I recommended two of his books, and I'm doing them that again. One is concerning spiritual gifts, and then the other one is the Holy Spirit and His gifts. You know, and he discussed them line by line. I said that he and I might differ in interpretation a number of things, but basically, I think what he teaches in this regard is quite instructive, and we'll learn a lot from it. Now, so talking about the sending of spirits, this was what... Now, here was a person, that's Kenneth Hagin now, that had a lot of experiences. Visitation of, let's say... You hear that people see angels. Do you understand my point? And it's actually a matter of fact. People do see angels. And I've known people who saw angels before. All right? I've never seen one. Well, okay, at least maybe I didn't know it was an angel. I hope you know that. No, jokes apart. I hope you know that. If you saw an angel, except if it talks to you and it tells you it's an angel, you are not likely to know. Amen? I hope you know what I'm saying in serious. I don't think that's a joke. I mean it literally. People entertain angels unawares. That's what the Bible says. I'm sure you have given a lift to angel before. You didn't know. It's possible. I had a friend who angels stopped by and helped him in the time of his distress. It was after the experience had ended that he realized that they were angels. And that's a matter of fact. It does happen. They appeared like two shepherds somewhere in the north. You would have thought they were abokis. You know what I mean by abokis? Yes, literally. And I don't mean that as a joke. It's really happened. It's a matter of fact. I don't think that's a joke. But then I don't think that's what he's discussing here. That's what Paul was explaining. Now, Kenneth Hagin will tell you then that... Okay, I was telling you that he had a number of experiences. He was a prophet. Is that okay? He was first a prophet and then a teacher. Most people know him as a teacher. But then in reality, the man was first a prophet before he was a teacher. Now, and one of the things you will see, I will explain it in a moment. One of the things he said is that... Or let me just explain it now. That this, if you see something, we'll come down to in verse 11, that the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as He wills. I explained something last week that anything can happen to anybody. Do you get my point? You cannot, it is not tied to anybody at all. That in fact, I emphasized that extensively last time, that we shouldn't expect that this is only found in the matter of ministry, preaching ministry like this. But that, I remember what I said, we should all say last time, expect a miracle. Can you remember that? Yes, it can happen to you. It can happen to anybody anytime. But Kenneth Hagin said something which I believe is so true. He said that you will find out that depending on the kind of calling that somebody has, certain manifestations are commoner. For example, he insists that a prophet will have three. Well, the way he defines word of wisdom is different from the way I define it. You understand that? Now, but so using his own definition, in which what he calls word of wisdom to me actually is part of my own understanding of what you call a word of knowledge, okay? But using his own explanation for word of wisdom, he says that's the knowledge of things that have not yet happened. But I insist that it is still knowledge. Whether it has happened or not is not what makes it the word of wisdom or word of knowledge. Do you understand my point? Uh-huh. Once you are able to have insight, because as a matter of fact, these things that happen physically, they first happened in the realm of the spirit. They didn't just begin to happen when you are seeing them. So something can happen. In fact, like you see, John, will tell you that an angel will call him and say, you come and see what will take place shortly after. That is, as John was standing there, they were taking place in heaven, but then later on you will see them manifested on the earth. So I'm just trying to explain why I might differ a bit on what is the word of wisdom. But using his own definition of word of wisdom, he will tell you that a prophet will have a number of these gifts working frequently in his ministry. One, word of wisdom. Two, the word of knowledge. And he will now add another one to it, maybe something like a prophecy. Then we'll come back to that in a moment. And he equates tongues and interpretation of tongues, that they are equal. That is, if you combine tongues and interpretation of tongues, it becomes prophecy. It comes about the same thing. But we'll examine that in a moment. Now, so he says that a prophet, you will find a number of gifts occurring frequently in his life. And that's the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, the way he defines it, all right? And then, yes, let me not miss that one, the discerning of spirits. Now, the word there is, my Bible, New American Standard, uses the word distinguishing of spirits, all right? But then King James uses the word discerning of spirits. Now, what Ken Hagin tried to explain is that the ability to see into the spiritual realm falls under that manifestation. Do you get my point? Do you follow? Because he, as a prophet, is some of those things that he said you may find frequently operating in the lives of prophets. He, as a prophet, a lot of times, he will see angels physically appear, all right? And many times, if you please read his book, you learn a lot from it. Nobody's an island of knowledge. In fact, if you think I know everything, you really have a mental problem. But I'm sure you don't think so. But read his book. I Believe in Visions. Yes, it's a very good book. You will see all the experiences that he had. Yeah, read the book. He gave gifts unto men. Yes, that's another very good book by Kenneth Hagin. Most his best books are actually those prophetic books. That is, when I say prophetic, in which he had prophetic experiences to narrate to people, prophetic visitations that God used to send him to the body of Christ. He gave gifts unto men, which is very, very good. It's very good, for especially if you're a preacher. You know, a lot of clowns go around town, you know, deceiving themselves. They don't know what real ministry is. If you read that book, it will correct your brain to a very large extent. I'm serious. Then I told you about Holy Spirit and his gifts, but then the one I'm referring to now is what? I Believe in Visions. Yes, that's the one he narrated. At the time he was writing the book, all the visions that he had had. And when we're talking about visions now, I don't mean that a man slept and he dreamt. Now, in the book, he will tell you different levels of revelation. That is, you go and read it. I don't want to discuss that. Different levels of revelations that people can have. It's written in that book. Then one of it, you talk about visions now. That's the higher end, he said. And there are open visions. There are trances, he'll tell you. And then there are, this is what closed visions, like I'm not very sure now. What's a trance? You know what a trance is? Just trance as in English language. Your whole natural senses get suspended and then you begin to have spiritual experiences. But what he called open vision, which he had quite a bit of, is that he's like now, one of the things he'll tell you will happen, that he's preaching and suddenly he'll look up. All right? And you'll just see, let me summarize it. You'll see a heavenly being walking and maybe take a seat as an example. Nobody else will see it. And he's still seeing, like, he will know whether he's sitting right next to that guy. You know, that kind of thing. Sometimes he's ministering to people. And as he's looking, his eyes open, nothing fantastic happening. But just look up again and see an evil spirit sitting on the person's shoulder. He can see clearly, but nobody else can see it. It is guy one man that he prayed for. The man had chronic headache, migraineous headaches that's afflicted him for a very long time. And another person, you know, there are many stories, so let me be careful, I don't mix them up. One in which this particular one, let me just tell this one, in which the man kind of was in a kind of mental state, like what we call a fugue state in psychiatry. He just was moving around life like a zombie, he really couldn't relate to what was going on in life, but he was alive and he was well. And he prayed for the man, and the thing started at a particular point in time, suddenly the man's life. So he prayed for the man, prayed, and the man went back to sit down, and he continued preaching. Suddenly he looked up and saw the man where he was seated and saw an evil spirit sitting on the man's shoulder with a hand, you know what they call an arm lock. He had a grip on the man's head like this. And he just called the man to come back forward. Now, one of the things he explained, I'm giving you Ken Hagin's explanation, I don't have that particular kind of experience, is that, now, let me say this, then I'll tell you what he said. Remember when Jesus wanted to cast out that devil from that madman of Gadara? Can you remember him? You know, he will tell you that If you read the account in one of the Gospels, he said that, he will tell you that Jesus was casting the devil out. Then afterwards, he said, "What is your name?" I don't know whether you go and read it, you'll find out. He has started casting out the devil before he interrupted himself, okay? And now asked, "What is your name?" And that one now said, "My name is Legion, because we are many." And then he now cast out the spirit out of the man. Now, this is the point. Now, he actually said that the Lord told him, because I didn't want to say this earlier, but let me say it now. I didn't want to have to explain, but since I'm on it, let me say it. Now, one of the experiences he used to have, when I said heavenly beings, actually some of those, most of those experiences was the Lord Jesus Christ will appear to him in physical form. Now, that is document. People who don't understand will think that, what do you mean? It's actually in the scriptures, and I can show you something. Oh, God, I hope I don't get ahead of myself. Quickly run to the book of Galatians chapter. Open your Bible to Galatians. Let me see where I'll read from there. Chapter 1. Verse 11, he said, I would have you know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. That is, it's not something that a man told me. Verse 12 says, for I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, please, listen to that. The word there is what? A revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, the way we use the word revelation a lot of times, most of us, maybe that somebody is preaching now, and I give you, as me I'm preaching, and I give insight, all right, through in the scriptures into something. Those of us on campus, the word we use is revelation. Do you get my point? That's like somebody just gives you a good insight into a scripture. We'll call it revelation. Are you getting what I'm saying? But actually, that's not what the word revelation here is saying. You know, I like the way it says in the Amplified Bible, it says that it came to me through a direct revelation, you know, given by the Lord, by Jesus Christ. Well, that word direct is what I want to bring out from there. If you see the book of Revelations, all right, if you see the introduction, it will tell you the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, what I'm trying to bring out is that revelation there is not understanding. Understanding is what we used to call revelation. Somebody just says something and you never understood it. You say, wow, that's a revelation. But actually what he has shared with you is understanding. There's a difference between that and revelation. Revelation is that somebody sees something that is not visible to everybody. Are you getting what I'm saying? And what he's saying here, revelation, is describing a spiritual experience. Paul was saying something clearly, that what I'm teaching you, nobody taught it to me, but I received it by a revelation of Jesus Christ. And what that meant is simple. Is that I sat down one day and the Lord Jesus walked in, because people saw him after he rose up from the dead. You know, that's a matter of fact. Even John in Revelation, you did not see him. Do you understand? And that was exactly what happened to Paul. Just like Jesus appeared to John in Revelation and showed him things. And, you know, he dictated letters. You know that? He dictated messages to the seven churches. And John wrote them down. That's what they call revelation. It's not that somebody gave you understanding. So what Paul was describing here in Galatians chapter 1 was that this is how I got my gospel that I preached. And you will see, after he had preached for many years, he went down to Jerusalem and he wanted to compare notes with those people. You are getting what I'm saying? That these people like Peter, because they never discussed the gospel. While he was preaching, he never heard it from Peter. Peter heard his own gospel. So just after a while, he said, look, let me even go and compare notes with those who were there physically. No, when Jesus was on the earth, and they found out they were saying exactly the same thing. So that's what's saying in Galatians, that look, what I'm teaching you is exactly what Jesus taught me. I'm talking to you about what they call revelation, all right? So now I was talking about Kenneth Hagin. Like I said, most of the things I learned from here, I learned from him. And then, so he used to have that kind of revelation. I've narrated this particular experience of his to you once, in which the Lord appeared to him, and for over an hour, they discussed about his life and his ministry. And then one day before the Lord left, and as the Lord was leaving, it's as if somebody was, and he actually sat down. It's not a story of, that was an open vision to him, for him. In fact, he would describe a situation in which he had what they call a closed vision. I remember, yeah, that one now, in which if he opens his eyes, he sees normal people. If he closes his eyes, he begins to sense in the realm of the spirit. And one of those experiences, the Lord was dictating something to him. He opened his eyes and begged for paper. And they found him paper and pen. He closed his eyes again, and he'll hear something and open and take notes down. Are you getting my point? But this one was not like that. It was an open vision in which the Lord told him things. And go and read that book. I know I say that a lot of preachers that I see that go around just just making a mess of ministry and a mess of their lives, all right? I pray that God have mercy on them. I feel like they don't read. They don't read. You know, you just have to do yourself. You don't learn from your own mistakes. Do you get my point? Many other people have made mistakes or they have been corrected, and you can learn from the things that they had done. You don't, and the easier way is just pick a book. My greatest training means, people ask me, which Bible school did you go to? I didn't go to any. Not one day. Not one day. How did I learn the scriptures? From when I was in school. We used to read. You know, no be adult education. No be reading. If you go to Bible school, no be book you can read for them. It's true. And that's my ministerial training. Where did I get my ministerial training from? In all honesty, things that were taught to me by human beings, 90% of them were taught by Kenneth Hagin and Bishop Oyedepo. Kenneth Hagin I never saw physically. Maybe apart from video. Are you getting my point? I never saw the man. Apart from video. But I still make a boast of it that I read virtually all the books he ever wrote, apart from a faithful series. Apart from those faithful series, I read virtually all of them. Anyone I've not read, I've not seen it. I've never heard of it. But all the ones listed, you see in the back of a book, books by Kenneth Hagin, not Kenneth Hagin Jr., books by Kenneth Hagin. Every single one that I have seen listed, I have read, apart from the faithful series. Okay? And then, those days when we were in Lagos, we used to go for, of course, I got a lot of bishops' tapes, and then sometimes we'll go for School of Ministry. School of Ministry was just like a weekend program, not a school, not a school per se. Just a weekend program, a seminar for like 2 or 3 days, and then we'll go there, you know, just different people preaching. But a lot of things I learned, especially how to handle matters of ministry, I learned from those two people. Most of them, I learned from those two people. 90%. Anything beyond that, I probably just read here and there or studied myself or came to understand, you know, along the line, you get to learn things. Is that okay? Now, the particular story I'm telling you about, he said, well, the Lord had talked to him for over an hour, and then when he got up to leave, all right? And the leaving is not just vanish. He will walk out of a door. Do you get what I'm saying? He will walk out of a door, open a door, and pass through the door. And kind of bye-bye kind of situation. Do you understand what I'm saying? And again, you see, let me tell you something about spiritual things. He said most of those experiences did not happen when he was fasted up and prayed. In fact, one of them was in disobedience. That was his problem. One day, Michelle was just studying, maybe for a meeting. They just felt that somebody was coming. He heard footsteps coming down the hall. So he knew somebody was coming. And next thing, that the door was slightly open. Then somebody pushed the door open and he walked in. And the stories would begin. He said that particular experience, as he was leaving, and as he turned back as if he forgot something. Okay, yeah, there's one thing I didn't tell you. He said, yeah, in everything that you are going to experience, remember to give the glory to me. That's number one. And number two, he told him what? You heard me say it again and again. Be careful about money. He told him, number two, be careful about money. All right? And that's the one he now repeated twice. Now, please, get the point there. So, that's the thing. That's what they call a revelation. All right? So, it happens. And that's what Ken Hagin called that one an open vision. Now, so he described, when he was discussing the sending of spirits, that's one of the things he gave as an explanation for the sending of spirits. And one of the things he narrated quite a lot, is that a lot of times he's ministering to people, okay? He will actually see the evil spirit. Not, he will see it. He can describe it to you that this is what it looked like, all right? In fact, he described a particular experience in which the Lord appeared to him in, that one was not an open vision. It was like a trance or something. And as the Lord was telling him some things, an evil spirit jumped between the two of them and started making noise. Just making all kinds of noise, shouting and making noise so he couldn't hear. He said, the Lord just continued talking as if there was nobody there. And he really got worried, like, does he not know that I'm not hearing what he's saying? And that, you know, so I learned lessons different ways from different things. Now, one of the things I learned from that is that, look, your life is actually, you know, I told you that God commissioned Moses. And you know the next thing he did? He collected a gun, cocked the gun, and aimed at Moses and wanted to kill him. Who commissioned him? God. He sent him on an errand, and then he himself decided to stop him on the way to kill him. The way God behaves sometimes, if you don't understand him, you will get confused. I'm telling you, it's your responsibility, therefore, to do the things that are right, even after God has called you to preserve your own health. I'm not talking about running up and down, you know, with human effort. I'm talking about spiritually now. Because what caused Moses' problems was that he did not circumcise his son. And so that's why his wife circumcised the son in a hurry so as to preserve his life. And Moses would have died. And I've said before, there are many people who die, you never read their stories. Do you get my point? look, God goes around calling people and educating them, and the amount of progress they will make with God is dependent upon the personal decisions they make to be God. Do you get what I'm trying to say? So it's your responsibility for spiritually to ensure your prosperity. God called you doesn't look, it doesn't mean, I don't know if it doesn't mean anything. It means something, but it doesn't guarantee anything. God can call a man, bless him with a lot of anointing, say, go and change the world. And his house will be so disorderly. No, I'm serious. His wife will be a Jezebel. Children will be idiots. Crooks. I'm serious. I'm very serious. The fact that he's anointed, that's what I've been explaining to you before. Don't think the fact that a man is anointed, it means every aspect of his life is an example. No, it doesn't mean anything at all. It doesn't, in fact, that's one thing it doesn't mean. God has a word to speak about every aspect of life. And the fact that a man is a heavy prophet does not mean you take his marriage as an example. You know, we Christians would like to do it. Everything one man does is right. Once it's somebody who blesses you, everything he does, if he overspeeds, overspeeding must be the will of God. Why? After when I was going out today, I saw pastor. Pastor was overspeeding. Why are you speeding like this? Policeman asks you, after stopping, you say, Oga police, my pastor speeds, this is the speed with which my pastor drives. I have traveled with him before. That's why he was speeding. So it must be the will of God. Oh God, try that one in a country like America. Very good for you. They will soon collect your license for following your pastor. And sometimes God will just show the man small grace because he's sending you to go and do something quickly. You will go to jail. The man will still be free. That's the next time. You won't copy somebody. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now, so I'm just explaining that principle that, you see, that day when he said when the Lord was speaking to him, that's one of the lessons I learned there. And he said he didn't do anything about it. And the evil spirit was just there, disturbing. He said, finally, out of desperation, he shouted, quiet in the name of Jesus Christ. And the devil just fell on the floor. Now, I won't give you the rest of the story. See all your ears standing up like, go and read the book. Triumphant Church, you'll find it in there. Another very good book. Triumphant Church is an exceedingly good book. I have it. I won't lend it to you. Amen? All right. Thanks for saying amen with me. They said it around. Triumphant Church is a very good book. If you finish, if you read Triumphant Church, your life will change a bit. All right? Now, so I've just used that one that, so he saw into the realm of the spirit. And so that's what he described as descending of spirits. It's under a kind of experience he would describe that he used to have. I think personally that that should be part of descending of spirits. Now, I'll give you one biblical story and I'll tell you this experience that he described. Remember when Paul was going around preaching and one young girl was following them and was shouting, this is this is that, this is this is that. Do you get my point? Now, I believe that there's normal Christian sensitivity. There are people. There's one man I used to watch on TV those days. I tell my wife, this guy is a fake pastor. She said, how do you know? I said, I can't explain, but this guy is a... His church was somewhere on this new heaven. I won't mention where. The Nenu go here. I tell my wife, this guy is a fake pastor. I said, how do you know? I said, I don't know how to explain it, but this one is a fake pastor. And I still mean it till today. I won't mention his name. Do you understand? There's another big guy, the one I used to mention all the time. You know, when I think about that guy's personal, that guy's story, it really worries me that he heard that he went to Malaysia and all the churches in Malaysia gathered to welcome a fake pastor. Do you know, I can't believe that those guys must really be asleep. They must be asleep in the spirit. Every little child in Lagos knew the guy was a fake pastor. They heard that when they went to Ghana, they showed the entourage of bishops in Ghana who came to welcome the man who is not even a Christian. I said, yeah. Church is business as far as it's concerned. Now, that's a different matter. That's just that's not the saying of spirits, okay? Now, but there's the saying of spirits in which somebody was following Paul around for days, and then finally one day, Paul just turned around and said, look, who is this noisy girl who's, let me just get down there. Acts chapter 16. I won't read the story, but you know what is there. From around verse 16, it described the girl who was having the spirit of divination, who was bringing her masters much profit by fortune telling. And he was going around following Paul, and shouting, "These men are born servants of the Most High God who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation." And she continued doing this for many days. But Paul was greatly annoyed. Now she went on for many days and turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out that very moment. Now, I just want you to explain something. Now, I think it was Ken Hagin that actually told this, gave this explanation that this went on for days. Why did he not do it on the first day? Are you getting my point? Now, what he's saying is that day was the day he finally, let me use my own word, finally clicked the kind of spirit that this girl was dealing, was handling. Before that, he tolerated it because the words are good. So you see that somebody is shouting what appears like good words does not prove much. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, you can hear what appears like good words, and it will kill your spirit as soon as you've left the place. You know there's a wrong spirit that are ministering in that particular place. This girl was shouting, "These men are born servants of the Most High God who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation." And she had the familiar spirit, the spirit of divination, and was using it for fortune telling. Oh God, please let me just advise you. Don't be carried away in Christianity by spectacular things. Do you understand my point? Look, we've told these stories before about familiar spirit. Can I say, you, where you are sitting there right there, there's 25 naira in your left pocket and 1,275 naira in your right pocket. The Lord said, "Give me the 1,000 naira out of it." The fact that the man is correct shouldn't impress you. Are you getting what I'm saying? If you like, give the man because you don't know what else to do. You're afraid that if I don't give him now, as I'm going home, for disobeying the prophet of God, the car will just jam me. You know, people do things like that. If somebody walks up to me like that and tells me that I perceive right now in your right pocket there's 2,700 naira and God says you give me 2,005, I'll tell you, go and tell God I'm not giving you. And I'll continue going. I won't even miss a step. And I'll tell you, you're a thief. Now I'll go tell, you know, they won't, I think Satan won't even try some things with some people because it won't cause problems. If you walk up to me and say, "Sir, I perceive you may have some money. I'm really hungry. Can you help me?" You will get more money out of me. Then you prophesy, "Shakaba, Togoba, Hito, Hobo. The Lord said there's money in your pocket." So, he said, "You should give it to me." I'm not giving you. The reason being that I understand that they are, look, you get something correctly does not mean, now I just wanted to bring that one up, but let me not miss the main thing I'm explaining. So, talking about that descending of spirit also. Now, I told you there's a story I was going to tell you. Is that okay? Now, one of the experiences that this man had, you know, I've been referring a lot to Kenneth Hagin, right? I said most of the things I learned from him. Now, one of the experiences that he had in the earlier days of his proper ministries, when I say earlier days, I mean that he had been preaching for 12 years before God sent him into the first phase of his ministry. Now, he thinks that he wasted 12 years. I don't think he wasted 12 years. All of us have to do something at one point or the other. There are a lot of people who did a particular profession, either they were doctors, lawyers, teachers, businessmen before God called him to ministry. For Kenneth Hagin, he was a pastor before God called him into ministry. Is that not very funny? Isn't that funny? Yeah, he was a pastor. It was God, as far as God was concerned, that's just business you are doing. You're just earning money. Then one day the Lord called him into the first phase of his ministry. After he had pastored for 12 years. He had been in ministry for 12 years. Anyway, in those earlier days of proper ministry, one of the experiences he had, because he had a special gift of healing, a very special one, very unique. One of the things that the Lord told him that there are different kinds of sicknesses you will encounter. A lot of people are just sick for many reasons, all right? Nutritional problems, infections. He said, but there are certain spirits, there are certain diseases that are actively, all right, being enforced by an evil spirit. That is the same thing that the person has an evil spirit present there. And will not get healed except by deliverance of that evil spirit. Normal praying wouldn't do it. Are you getting my point? And how was he going to know? It was a very simple technique that God gave him as a person. Not everybody. Do you understand my point? Don't leave here now practicing it. It's nothing for you. You understand? If you're not commissioned like that. Now, what he said used to happen is that if he's praying for somebody, one of the things he would do is put his hand, maybe like somebody's sick, you come forward, he put one hand in front and one hand behind. Maybe one hand on your chest, one hand on your back, and he wants to pray. Then before he starts praying, suddenly he'll feel a spark jump from one hand. He'll feel fire jump from one hand to the other. So if he feels that, he knows there's an evil spirit. So he doesn't pray for healing. He addresses the spirit. In fact, I remember a particular one in which the man had what doctors will call Port disease of the spine. All right? The man's back was stiff from tuberculosis, I think. And the man walked up to him, and as he was about to pray, he suddenly felt that fire. So he relaxed and looked at the man and told him, okay, just perceived that, look, I'm going to have to deal with an evil spirit here. So he went ahead. He cast out the spirit. And now, the manifestation didn't have to be dramatic. He would just coolly cast out the evil spirit from there and command the person to be well. Do you understand? And in this particular situation, he did that. He puts his hand across and told the man, he cast out the evil spirit and told the man, now bend down and see if you can touch your toes. Because the man's back was stiff. So the man tried to bend, his back was stiff, he couldn't. So he put his hand across again, he felt fire jump from one hand to the other. There's an evil spirit here now, what's going on? So he wound the thing again. In the name of Jesus Christ, you foul spirit of infirmity afflicting this man's back, I command you to depart from him. And told the man, now bend down and see whether you can touch your toes. The man tried again, nothing. The guy looked like, what is going on here? You know that kind of thing, you really, really be desperate. He put his hand again, third time, thing jumped across. What is going on? You foul spirit. Imagine my own. I can imagine your anger now. Who kind of rubbish spirit is this one? Take your time. Better come up for this place. And that's what the man the third time, bend down and see whether you can touch your toes. And the man tried and nothing. At that time he got tired. He just told him, okay, go to your seat. Go to your seat first. Just go to your seat first. He was meeting other people. He said suddenly he looked up. He just knew as I'm talking, he just looked to the side. And he saw the same person who gave him the commission, the Lord Jesus Christ, appeared beside him. This time around, unlike before, when he normally was a nice guy, this time around he was visibly angry. He was boiling with anger and his eyes were red. Normally his eyes, he said he can't describe it, but he can just say that his eyes are full of love. But this time around they were meeting fire. And it looked like, I know all he told him, I said it will go. And he answered, but he didn't. So the Lord said, I said it will go. And he answered, but he did not. And he told him the third time, I said it will go. And he said, but it didn't. And that was, he looked, the guy was not there anymore. Confusion. The Lord didn't give him any explanation. He just said, I said it will go. But you were there now. Oh, well, you're not there just now. Did you not pray for the man? Did he go? You're a witness now. Did he go? So the man, of course, you can imagine that kind of thing would destabilize him. So he called the man back. He went through the process again. Then suddenly he understood what happened. He was checking whether it went. So next time he just put his hand there, he commanded the spirit to go and told the man, now bend down now and touch your toes. The man bent down. He was perfectly healed in an instant. Now you get what I'm ready to say. That one, I learned the lesson from that too. I told you God doesn't give explanation. God doesn't give explanation. All these stories is not of God. You know, too many stories. Like, I like the way Jesus said it. He said, the Lord spoke to Peter and said, come. He said, if it is you, bid me to come. The Lord said to Peter, come. That he didn't tell him that, when you are coming, don't look at the waves. Oh. These waves, they are very dangerous. They may just make you doubt. And when you doubt now, you start sinking. Please, Peter, don't look at the waves. Oh. And there might be little fishes, you know, running around and swimming around your toes. Ignore the fish. Even if a crab comes up swimming, don't worry. The waves may carry you up and bring you down. Just focus on what I have said and do not doubt. The Lord didn't say anything like that. You know what he told him? Come. One of the prayers that I prayed, I still prayed it yesterday. In fact, as I was driving to work today, I still prayed it. Baba God, I beg. Biko, let me never, you know, like, in fact, this song, let me put it like this. I should sing it every morning for a few months until you are thoroughly cleansed of all iniquity. I have made you too small in my eyes. Oh, Lord, forgive me. You know that song? Yeah, sing it every morning until your heart is thoroughly cleaned. And then periodically sing it every week. Then sometimes every month. By the time you get to every year, you will be old enough to have, you'll have pleased God for the last 90 years. Then you can die in peace. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's so important because if we don't doubt God, we'll be amazed at the amount of power that he will make available in our lives. Do you understand my point? Now, so I told that story to tell you about descending of spirits. Let me get back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I told that spirit just to let us understand what it means by descending of spirits. And these things do happen in which... Now, I said something earlier. Let me just say this. That a lot of these manifestations, okay, they are not always... How did I say it then? That, let me give an example. Faith, I explained, It can be given in an instant to somebody to believe God in a dramatic fashion. But people can also build their faith to that level over time. Are you getting what I'm saying? In the same manner, I mean, something that somebody is knowing by a word of knowledge. Okay? Somebody knows something by a word of knowledge. The person who was present there doesn't need a word of knowledge, does he? You are getting what I'm saying? Uh-huh. Now, so please get that point in, put that point in mind. I'm trying to bring out something that, yes, there is discerning of spirits, but again, I believe that every believer should build up himself to a level in life that he'll be able to perceive what is the right spirit and what is the wrong spirit without necessarily needing a sudden manifestation. There's a reason why I'm saying this. I had an experience, well, different experiences, but let me just summarize everything. First time I read this book, The Authority of the Believer by Kenneth Hagin, the book really blessed me a lot. I practiced things based upon what I read in that book, and the kind of results I saw were dramatic. Dramatic. That is, I didn't need discerning of spirits for some things. I remember I told you a story once that a young lady, well, a colleague of mine, all right, told me an experience that a man that he knows has. This man is a policeman in the CID, all right? And they went to investigate a case in a white garment church. There was a crime committed involving the church, and this man was a detective. He went to investigate a case. By the time he came from investigating the case, he had been converted to being a member of the church. His whole salary was now being donated to the place. Hey. Now, wow. What I'm saying is not a joke. The man went to the place. You can imagine, he went to go and investigate the case. Okay. Who stole what? Or who killed who? Who connived with who to commit which crime? It was a detective. By the time it was through. If I say this to make you laugh, I can assure you, I think I know how they got to him. Shall I tell you how they did? I wasn't there, but I can hint. In trying to maybe to try to bribe the man, they probably gave him a church girl to sleep with, and he made the mistake of accepting. I wasn't there, but that's the usual way. One of our brothers is a magistrate, you know, somewhere in Delta State. He said one of the things that they have tried to use to bribe him before. One day, some people, there was a case coming up. They came to his house. They came with money and a fine young girl. And that they just said the girl should just stay with him overnight. They didn't know anything, bro. I told her, Satan is a wicked, he's a wicked person. He's very wicked. He knows what he's doing. That one, if you just leak him out, you're in trouble. You say that nobody will. No, you see, I've told you before, it's not about the case. He's a magistrate. It's not about the case. It's about your life. Don't worry. A lot of people are in big positions in town, in Nigeria. They don't have control over their own life. There's one man somewhere who types keys, you know, like legislation is coming up tomorrow. All right. They just punch into their spiritual computer what they want him to say. Bam, enter. I think, and that they, you know, they've already logged on. Chicken, you know what they call logging? They have this FTP code they have used to log on to his website. They can control him from anywhere. I know what I'm saying is true. It's business now. You want to make money, no problem. I love the business. Just carry one. You're a married man. You'll find you one small look quickie. Yeah, you are in order. You don't know that is a connecting spirit. They connect. Listen. The Bible says, he that joins himself with a harlot becomes one body with her. It's a spiritual statement. That is how they put a hook into your heart. And when they pull it like this, you'll sway like this. They will say, what's wrong with this brother? I said, not lie. Somebody's controlling him from somewhere. Somebody, anyway, let me not digress too much. So when she finished telling me the story, I say, yee. You know what has happened? She said, what? I said, they bewitched the man. She didn't know what I was saying. I think she didn't have that kind of understanding. I said, they bewitched the man. I said, he's a family friend. She said, yes. Get me his wife or one of his daughters, grown-up children, daughter or son. Once the person is grown up, all right, just get me the person. Let me talk to the person. You are just a friend. I can't do anything through you. But I want to talk to the person, and I guarantee you in 15 minutes, the man's eyes will open. Of course, maybe she didn't believe me, really. I don't, because if she really did, she would call them and say, see deliverance. And you were just talking, daddy, you were just giving me gist. Look at what happened. Look at what I just said. No, you're making a mistake. Call the wife or one of his adult children. A grown-up person who can take responsibility. Call the person to come and see me. 15 minutes, the father is delivered. You can be sure of that one. And I wasn't joking. I wasn't thinking about it. It's like they say, I've done it before. We had done it before. It's things that we had done in previous times. At least, at that time, I had two good experiences to use to teach. That look, this one, when somebody just changes behavior overnight, the person has an evil spirit piloting his soul. I'm not joking about that. I'm telling you the truth. If you understand, look, I said that one that I'm trying to explain something that it's not every time we need a special manifestation. Do you understand? To know, there are things I see. It doesn't even require prayer. I just say, this guy, I can tell you the name of the evil spirit worrying him. I'm not joking about that. And I'm very, very serious about it. I'm very serious. All right? But, of course, the other experiences we had, you know, it was from maybe young boys at home just suddenly start misbehaving. I said, that one an evil spirit. You don't need a spirit to tell you. Come, told his sister, let us join hands, prayed. In 5 minutes, forget it, that boy is well. Next time I saw him, he had gone back to church to give his life to Christ, to rededicate his life to Christ, and he became a firebrand preacher. You just see it. So, you know, there are things you just see once. That's why it's not everywhere you go to. T.B. Joshua is preaching. What's your problem going to his church? Don't even go there out of curiosity. If you enter the church, they are sharing food. Don't eat. This is not food set. What do you call it? It is not eat without asking question. That one, you already know the answer. So why should you ask question? They want to give you communion in synagogue church of Satan, and you are eating it. Are you stupid? If they say, Pastor Banga, hey, you are doing great work. Here is an offering to support. I will wire the money back to you. What kind of rubbish is that? If you send the money to an offering basket and I'm not aware, it's a different matter. But you call me and say, Pastor Banga, hey, you are doing a great work and I know your spirit is wrong. And you say, I won't take it. If it's a situation in which I can't, you know, it's difficult, I'll carry the money. I know many charity homes where we can drop money. I know many. I'll say, in Jesus' name, God, I refuse this offering. I refuse it because it is carrying a spirit into this environment. I refuse it. Now, the charity, we don't know where it's coming from. Abi, we just can buy rice, buy gari, buy clothes, buy food, then drop all money into their basket and leave the place. They will be blessed by it. I diffuse the spirit from around me. Oh, what rubbish. Listen, what Satan does is discuss with people. Satan can't take you by surprise. Now, did you hear what I said? Satan doesn't have the power. This is not a joke. He doesn't have the power to take anybody by surprise concerning anything in life. He doesn't have it. All he can do is to negotiate. And what does he use to negotiate? Only three things: the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That is why, if you're a preacher, listen. Be careful of big men. I know what I'm saying. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Any preacher here? Don't put down your hand, even if you're a preacher. Just be careful of big men. Be very careful. Especially those who love to hang around pastors. Most of them carry evil spirits. I'm not joking, no. They do. The real big man in the realm of the spirit that has money to fund ministries, God taught him over the years not to shout about it. I don't know whether I get the point. Over the years, God will have taught him that not to make any noise about it. He will have learned how to crawl into places, drop a check and walk away. Because he's not doing for glory. Do you get my point? He will have learned over the years to support serious work and not make noise. Some of the quietest people you find around Nigeria are so wealthy you don't know. A lot of the ministry work, real ministry work that's going on, they are funding it, they will never talk. When you get to heaven, it's when you find out what's really going on. A lot of these noisemakers are nothing but jokers. No, it's like, I tell you, Buddha, don't ever forget something. Jesus says, look, what your right hand does, it's not something you discuss with your left hand. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It's a divine principle. I see when I see big men hanging around preachers. One day somebody told me that, he said that he mentioned the name of one big man in this state. You know, if I mention the name, you all know. That we came up to your office to come and look for you, me and this man. I told my wife, who? Me? Thank God people didn't find me. Oh. I went and reported to somebody that he said that I shouldn't mind the guy, that he doesn't need the guy saying the truth. But my mind, whether I'm telling the truth or not. You know, so I was saying, where was I now? Where was I? No. I don't want. In Jesus, I say, I thank God, in the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit, that you didn't meet me. Maybe you thought I would be excited, like, wow, you know, you're a big man. God is taking you to places. Big men are looking for you now. When they told Jesus, the Greeks are looking for you, he started preaching on that message. Do you know that instantly? He didn't even answer them. Not easy for popularity. I'm just saying, be very careful. Some people hang around with all kinds of evil spirits. There are only three ways they introduce into your lives. Into your life, only three ways. The lust of the eyes, they have to offer you something. The lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That policeman I was telling you about, that detective, I can bet money on it. They use two things, food and a young girl, to get him. You walk into the church, doesn't give them the right to. It came on official duty. It didn't give them the evil spirit the right to take a hold of his soul. But he went and ate food that was not convenient for him. You know what I'm trying to say? At the end of the day, he said he was submitting his salary on a monthly basis to the prophet in that church. He will collect the salary. It's the one the man gives him. Are you getting me? It's the one the man gives him, or the woman. Whether it was a prophet or prophet, I don't know. That's the one he takes home. If they give him 1,000 naira, carry 1,000 naira there. Oh man of God, here's my money. The prophet will take 500. Take another 700 for the Lord. Of the 300 remaining, say, give your wife 15 naira. This one for food. Because you know the whole family was in distress. Because the man go chop, the one would not be on. You know, I just tried to explain something about discerning of spirits. All right? And I said that discerning of spirit, yes, it happens as a spiritual manifestation. But every believer should grow up in life to be able to understand when wrong spirits are working. Now, let's go on. He said, to another, various kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same spirit works all these things. Now, various kinds of tongues are interpretation of tongues. Now, this is just something. Okay, let me just finish this. Now, this is something that has generated a lot of discussion those days when we were in school. People say that if anybody is filled with the Holy Spirit, the person must speak in tongues. Is the initial sign that you are filled with the Spirit? Some people say it's not true. But those when I was in school, nobody said it's not true. Nobody had the guts to say it's not true. But now I don't believe it actually. I'm not saying it is wrong. You know what I mean? Wrong. No. But I don't think it's as it's such a strict rule as we make it appear, that the only people that are filled with the Spirit are those who spoke in tongues when hands were laid upon them, when they prayed. It's not in keeping with my general understanding of the scriptures, number one, and then specific experiences one has had both personally and the stories of other people over the years. How many of you ever heard of John Alexander Dowie? All right, go and read this book, God's Generals. All right? John Alexander Dowie did not speak in tongues. He did not. He absolutely refused to. If preachers these days are one quarter as anointed as he was, my God, you will not, I'm telling you, the kind of manifestations you will see, you will be afraid. Dowie was so anointed, there was a time he ripped off a tumor from somebody's face. He was known as a prophet. One day he came back to Chicago, having traveled. People were mocking him that, there's been no rain for a long time. Will the prophet pray for rain? He prayed for rain there and told everybody to start going home. Before they could get out to go home, the rain was so heavy. At that time, he had a lot of problems, but God honored him every time. That we didn't see sickness and run. Sickness saw him and felt bad. That, why did you bring me here? The man, funny enough, he had his own personal issues, but he was not a tongues talking man. Are you getting my point? Uh-huh. That's not to say that it is wrong. In fact, I like the way Paul says it, and that's why I say it all the time. He said, I thank my God that I speak in tongues more than ye all. Do you understand? I'm just trying to explain the principle there, that we should be very careful that we don't make doctrines of what. It's very popular in Pentecostalism, and there's a reason why it was that popular. The reason is just because sometimes when God wants to lay an emphasis and open a door into a new set of manifestations for people, we tend to carry it, you know. Well, Holy Spirit allows us, actually, because that way everybody gets to hear it. All right? But he knows that eventually we'll balance out the issue. All right? And that's a balance. And I believe very strongly in the manifestation of speaking with other tongues, especially in prayer and then in public meetings also. But what Paul was talking about here, I believe, You're talking about various kinds of tongues which God gives for the edification of the whole body. Now, there are different kinds of tongues. Number one, let me just say something. The Bible talks about, if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1, it says, if you speak with the tongues of men and of angels. Now, I just want to bring out there that there are tongues of men, and there are what? Tongues of angels. That's a matter of fact. And you will hear, you know, a lot of tongues you hear people speak, like they do in a home video. You know, can wake up and just say, hey, who stole my Honda, Suzuki, Mitsubishi, it is still tongue. You know what you are saying? All right, if you speak Japanese. What I'm trying to explain anyway is that there are different kinds of tongues, all right? And some people say that some of these tongues people speak, it doesn't have any meaning. I say, obviously, you have not gone around the world. If you hear a Chinese man talk for the first time, my God, you won't believe he has meaning. You won't believe it has meaning, all right? There are different kinds of tongues. There are tongues of angels, and there are tongues of men. And among the tongues of men, which you understand, Nigeria alone has more than 200. Is it 250? Or I don't know how many. Enugu says alone, self. How many? Those days when I was in the days of Bendel State, when we were in campus, when they are casting local news, they used to do it like 10 different languages. You know, you have news in English and then news in the local one. Those of us from Ondo State, initially, we had to contend only with news in English and in Yoruba. Then they added, because a part of Ondo State has a Ijo people there. So they now added Ijo, Ijo to it. And I learned a bit of Ijo those days just hearing the news. For example, I know that state means Pelekiri. You know, instead of Ondo State, you say Ondo Pelekiri. I learned a few things like that. But when I came to school in Bendel State, then they first give you the one in English for 30 minutes. Then each local one is two minutes because there are so many. There were so many. And they will now give you the one in Pidgin English on top of that. I'm telling you, on top of that one, they can't give you the one in Pidgin English so that you understand all the things we've done. They happened for this year since last week when I come up for house. Everything like that. That one, they long, small. But now give you 2 minutes in Yoruba, 2 minutes in Edo language, 2 minutes in Yoruba language, 2 minutes in Isoko, 2 minutes in Ishan, 2 minutes. Look, two minutes. In fact, if you couldn't speak it, don't just watch the news. At the end of 30 minutes, there's no tongue you wouldn't speak. All right, so the fact that something doesn't sound good in your ears doesn't mean anything. There are people who are sounding fantastic in their ears. Are you getting my point? Uh-huh. Now, people will now argue that when Paul spoke, Peter and Co., when the Holy Spirit came upon, people heard them and they understood. And that was what, you see, the Bible said that the Holy Spirit distributes as he wills. That was what he chose to do that time. Okay? And Paul even said later on that if a man speaks an unknown tongue, it's possible for people there not to understand him. And he said that's why if he's giving the message, there must be what? Interpretation of tongues. You can speak in tongues and nobody understands. And sometimes, he said, he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men. Do you understand my point? But unto God. You get my point? He said, how beat in the spirit is uttering mysteries to God. No, let's not just sit on one thing that because you go to church and people are speaking all kinds of languages and you don't understand, it means they are deceiving themselves. No, it's not so. But having said all of this, right, there are different times of experience people have. People speak tongues in prayer. They speak it in praise to God. But sometimes, and this, I've heard different testimony from different places. A woman went once, a missionary, a lady, and I think she was in a company, actually. They went to one of these Middle Eastern countries. And they ran into, a lot of military presence. They ran into his roadblock. And she came down and started talking to the soldiers there. At that time, she walked away with one of the soldiers to go and see a more senior officer. And they spoke at length. And finally, she came back. I think it was in Yemen or Jordan, one of those places. It was in Jordan. And finally, she came back into the vehicle. And their guide said that, this woman is a very good lawyer. At the end of the day, we know what he didn't understand. She didn't understand one word of what she had been saying the last 30 minutes or 1 hour. She would just open her mouth and start talking. The man will talk, she will wait, she will start replying. She didn't understand him, she didn't understand herself. But the man was understanding everything. Finally, she spoke enough, the man let them go and allowed the company to continue. And their guy said that this woman is a very good lawyer. What he didn't understand is that the woman did not understand one word one word of everything that transpired in the last 30 minutes to 1 hour. Are you getting my point? Now, that is what the Bible calls the Spirit working all these things, distributing each one individually, to each one individually, just as he wills. The woman left there, she did not start speaking the Jordanian language. I said, she didn't even know what she said. She just, you know, something just came upon her, talked to this man. She opened her mouth and began to talk and spoke in the man's native language. And they talked for a long time. Not just talk alone. No. The man will talk, she will talk, he will talk, she will talk, he will talk. Then took her to go and meet a superior fellow. And they talked and talked and talked. At the end of the day, they didn't know the woman didn't understand one word. That is, not one jot of everything that she said, did she know the meaning of. I think it's good we discuss this thing, because we've been speaking so much English over the years that we don't realize that spiritual things are very real. I'm telling you the truth. And like I said, one of the reasons why Paul explained this to people is so that you will expect a miracle. What did I say? Expect a miracle. It's very important, all right? And then, now, there's another one. It talked about interpretation of tongues. Now, again, how do people get the interpretation? Kenegan used to describe some of those days that he will pray in one of the ways he used to understand what to do in life. A lot of times that he will pray. He'll be praying in tongues and praying in tongues. After a long time, suddenly you have the, like, I don't know how to say it, but he will just start interpreting the things that he's been praying. And he will determine that the things that he has been saying, all right, were messages to himself. And the interpretation to just flow, to just come into his heart, he will notice is exactly what is meant by the things that he, what was meant by the things that he said, and there will be messages for him. Now, sometimes, at least I've been in assemblies, those is more on campus, somebody will give a message in an unknown tongue. Nobody else understands that. And the person who interprets is just as ignorant as everybody else, except that he knows interpretation. Are you getting my point? What language do you speak? He doesn't know. But as soon as the person finishes, he knows. Suddenly, he has an understanding of what that fellow said. How do you know? I don't know. But everything he said, you want me to tell you? He says it. But what language do you speak? I don't know. But as he was talking, I was hearing something. And as soon as he finished, that is as if I knew the guy was talking. And I was getting the interpretation of what he was saying. So he says it to everybody in English. And that is what the Bible calls the interpretation of tongues. Do you get my point? And like I said, these things do happen. Last of all, verse 11, he said, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing each to each one individually just as he wills. Which means that, I like what Kenneth Hagin said then, that even though I was a prophet and there were things that were very common in his own life because of his calling, but he never could walk them. Do you get my point? He just wake up and decide that, okay, let me speak a strange tongue and interpret it. He couldn't do that. One of the things he couldn't do was just decide to have a word of knowledge. And that's why, listen, all these prophets who sit down and they walk in and they see vision for people, say that Pastor Banky said, they are all lying prophets. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If there is a professional man who sits down somewhere and you walk in and you go and ask questions like, okay, what will happen if I do this? And he says, let us pray. And he prays and now tells you what will happen. What that person is doing is divination. You that went to him, you are as guilty as the man you went to. I hope you get my point. Listen, nobody gets up in real terms, that's in the real thing, and just cooks up a manifestation. They don't have the ability to. I like one thing somebody used to explain once, that Gehazi went to tell lies to collect money, right? If it was so that Elijah knew everything, do you think he would have dared it? Elisha. He had been working with Elisha for some time. Then some people brought Baje one day. Elisha not agree collect. And he followed and told lies. And Elisha now said, where are you coming from? He said, are they back here? They not hear me as they sing, they clear the grass. And the man said, did my spirit not go with you and all of that? Somebody explained that this, look, that if the experience was that Elisha always knew everything, do you think Gehazi would have been stupid enough to try to deceive him? Because he knew that he had lied to Elisha in the past and nothing happened. I kept two silver coins here. Who carry them? Gehazi said, oh God, I never entered this house today. But the money was in his back pocket. And Elisha said, well, maybe I spent it on the room we're coming back.
okay, yeah, that girl that was selling orange. I think we bought orange. Were you the one that paid on me? I guess, okay, now you pay. It's okay. Gehazi don't round the money. You understand my point? Uh-huh. And Elisha did not know. It has happened like that before. That was why the day issues came down. You understand? He thought Elisha wouldn't know. But it was now the day that the Holy Spirit decided to show it to Elisha. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say. Okay? Now, it's so important we understand that point. Now, so, that is, those who now settle down and decide that, okay, I just want to see visions at will for people. They deceive people. Believe me, they do. I have seen them before. It's very common. I don't know about this part of the world, though. But where I come from is very common. They did plenty well. The prophet just sits down. You walk up there. Before you do anything, you will sit, kneel down. And we are planning to to open delicweb.com. Will it prosper or won't prosper? So let me pray. And I've seen them speak all kinds of tongues. Before I knew by speaking in tongues, I heard them from fake prophetesses. I'm telling you. And they will speak it and interpret it too. Say, don't try it. Don't try it. Don't try it. Because I should tell you that if you try it, the car you used to start on your head, all of them will mangle one day and going back. Oh God, you don't know how Satan kept people in poverty. All kinds of tricks. Those who saw, which prophet did they ask? Which prophet did they ask? They just got up and went and did what they wanted to do. Are you getting my point? So yeah, come. We finish praying. Okay, let me see what God wants to say. Or, they stole my shoe. It's in the hostel. Prophets, pray. Let me know who stole the shoe. And the prophet will tell you, this is the person who stole it, and it will be the right person. It's called familiar spirit. After that, an evil spirit will, that's when people say they are pressing me in my bed. Yes, now, why won't they press in your bed? You went to where the bed pressing people live. You know, there are things that I hear. You know what I say? The witch will not press me for my bed. You know they fear? You just come to my bed and press me. I will just wake up, carry you, put you down there and sit on your head. You will choke when you get home. When they get to your home, where you flew out from, your dead body they will meet. And they ask the dead body, what's happening? He said, go press Pastor Bank. Now Pastor Bank is sit for your head. Now it's okay. Because you won't find where they're doing divination. I'm serious. You won't find me. What do you know? Even if I'm in a room and one man is praying, praise one person, he said, let me see what God has to tell you. Before he gets to my turn, you know what I will do? I will join the hands of those who want to hear what God wants to tell them. I gently sneak back. And they go with that. He said, I don't want to hear. God knows how to tell me, send me a message when I need to hear it. As for this man who's doing divination from one person to the other, I am not interested. Once somebody knows that he's always seeing vision to direct people's lives, I'm one guy that won't go near him. I don't want conflict for my soul. Are you getting my point? I don't want conflict for my soul. The day I need to hear correct message, God knows how to send correct message to me. Not with the man with a spirit of divination. I'm emphasizing the expression here. He said, but one and the same spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually, just as he wills, not as they will. Can I give us an anointed prophet too? Please go and read that book if you're interested. He gave gifts unto men. He described the ministry of the prophet. How some prophets, the Holy Spirit will speak through them today. Tomorrow is familiar spirit. People get confused. But this is, in fact, anyway, I was about to say I don't hard, but I'm not hard. In Jesus' name, I refuse to be hard. My heart is still open to genuine manifestations. But I see people operating all kinds of things that sometimes you want to close your ears to everything that is spiritual like that. But of course, I thank God I will not fall for that. I know, and that's why we're doing this kind of teaching, for us to understand that genuine things exist. Did I hear an amen? Amen. Yes, they do. All right? Okay, now I'm going to end that one there. The Lord is good. Have I explained anything today? We'll spend so much time on these first few verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, if you see, from verse 12, I will jump that to a large extent. The reason is because we discussed this one in the book of Romans, chapter 12, from verse 3. You see that. So, and I said that at the beginning then, that a lot of the things that we will see in the letters of Paul, we'll find in one letter and find another letter. So we'll save time in some of those places by just not repeating all the things. Is that okay? So where I'm going to continue from next time, therefore, will be
Okay, I will run through that from that verse to, chapter 12, from that verse 12 of chapter 12, and then we'll now get down to around verse 28. That's where I'll start passing my comments. But what I will say between 12 and 28, I'll run through it, say it for a few minutes. It will be the same thing we discussed when we're studying Romans chapter 12. Then if you were not around, we can try and get the CD. Then we'll now go into chapter 13. The Lord is good. Let us pray. Let's just give the Lord thanks for the power of his word and the things that we have learned today.